Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome everyone, it's Marina from MCBI and I am so happy to be sitting here today having just experienced our 60 Mock for July 2019. I'm here with the lovely, graceful, intelligent, charismatic Sonali De Silva. Welcome, how are you?
Thank you so much, Marina. I'm fabulous.
You are fabulous.
I'm feeling fabulous.
Yeah.
And I had such a good time today morning at the 60 Mock. Thanks for having me. And what a good crowd. Very receptive.
Yeah.
Great questions, lots of curiosity, and more than you can ask for as a speaker. So, yeah, had a great morning. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It is a great platform, isn't it, 60 Mock, where it lets people like you connect with people you might not necessarily have ever had a chance to influence. We had police there, we had government there, small business, all that type of thing.
So, a diverse audience. And my first brush with 60 Mock happened because I got to know you over LinkedIn.
Yes.
And that's how I realized, oh, you do this in one of Adelaide's longest running business improvement series.
It's
a pretty long time to have got this going. So, you know, that's amazing. Seriously.
We're trying not to feel tired. I know. Anyway, we're not here to talk about 60 Mock. It is a great platform.
But I loved it.
Thank you.
Attending it, and what a privilege to be speaking at it.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll come back to your what your session was all about in a minute, but we're actually... A lot of people are always interested to hear about, you know, leadership and who are these people who get up on these stages and talk and their journey, how do they get there? Can you share with us a little bit your story?
So I am relatively new to Australia and Adelaide. So my journey in Australia has been rather short, under 3 years. Some days it seems like a very long time. Some days you feel like, oh, that just happened and we've already done so many things. So my husband and I came here from India and we came to have a different cultural experience. And we reckon that if we wait any longer to have an adventure in life, we are going to chicken out of it. So it's now or never. Take the plunge. And so bags and packages, here we were. And my journey earlier to that has been mostly leading a life that's been fairly comfortable, you know, knowing how to get around in my culture while I traveled outside a lot from India. But, you know, you knew you were coming back to home. You were coming back to familiarity. Nothing challenges you like displacement, even though this was willing displacement. And I've been in talent management, so I should have been better informed, being a facilitator and a leadership speaker for a while in my career. And I wasn't prepared for what diversity at that level can do to your brain and to your confidence and to your mindset. And so I haven't always dealt with it very well. And for me, that's an important thing to talk about, that I have stumbled with differences. You know, I've not always said the most smart thing that could have helped people feel included.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's when you realize that, oh, that person didn't really reject me. They're just shy to talk to me, or I'm a stranger, or I'm the only person with my difference sometimes in the room, and maybe they are giving me my space. And once I cracked that journey for me became more enjoyable because I realized that I have to step forward and meet people in the middle to be included and not wait to be included always.
That's a real inner dialogue, isn't it? Which is, you picked up on that in the 60 Mock theme about, you know, the little conversations that were going on within ourselves, our unconscious bias or implicit bias and what have you. So let's talk about 60 Mock. That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
So lots of really interesting themes about diversity, and the title of it was How to Reap the Dividend of Diversity. Is that the correct title?
Yes, that
close.
Is.
Close. Good.
Yes.
There you go.
Close.
Close.
Yes, you got that right. Yeah.
Tell us about what you went through.
For me, today was about helping people personalize this topic, because when you say reaping the diversity dividend, it kind of sounds lofty, and it removes you, therefore, from any onus to take action. And so for me, when we talk of stuff that is so impersonal, and diversity is, you know, it's a paradox, like it's supposed to be personal to us, but we think of it as it belongs to somebody else. And someone will tell me, probably HR, how to deal with it. And I wanted to make today personal But still talk about the macro stuff, like what can organizations do? But very importantly, what can you do? Because you are the organization, you are the culture, you are the business. And so today for me was, I think, successful to that extent because I could see some ahas, like I was watching people and I could see, hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, when we, for example, that part that we spoke of, that when we aren't inclusive of someone's difference, it doesn't make us terrible people. But it does make us lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I could see that look on people's faces because it's not just about letting yourself off the hook, which is all right, but it's also realizing that it's not as black and white. It's not about I'm a bad person versus I'm a nice person who's inclusive. There's a lot of in between gray, and that gray to me is about around effort and understanding that HR won't do it for us.
Yeah.
We got to do it for ourselves.
That was a big theme I took. That was a big aha moment for me is the amount of activation energy, as I call it, that you need to actually push yourself to, you know, include the habit of inclusion and appreciating diversity. It's because you have to rewire the brain. Correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't our brains wired against diversity?
Yeah, they are, to keep us safe. It's a survival instinct. It's a bit of an animal thing that kicks in. Sameness gives us a perception of safety.
Yep.
Safety in numbers, safety in similarity. You're not challenged. You're not facing conflict. You're not fighting a difference. It's a comfortable feeling, and we want to be comfortable. Brain-wise. But the activation energy, love that term. The reason that activation energy is harder is because when we confront difference and we realize that we may have rejected it in the past, let's say, and we all have, and you know, you get older, you get wiser, hopefully. And
any day now.
Yeah, any day now. It might happen tomorrow morning. And you say, all right, I'm going to do a better job now. But I realize that when you try and do a better job, it also brings with it feelings of shame and regret, potentially embarrassment for our past behavior. So you got to be brave. So being inclusive is not a cakewalk because it stirs up messy stuff. And you got to have a handle on dealing with it. And for me, my favorite go-to is talk to a person I trust. I just blurt it out. I did that. Can you believe that?
I did.
Oh, my God. I just pointed that out. How could I? What does it make me? And that person would just calm me down and say, Sonali, I love you. You're great. I'm like, okay, I needed to hear that.
Yeah. It is.
So it's hard.
It is. It's an interesting concept where, you know, you need the other person to also not be offended for us to become better practiced at dealing with diversity. Because I think there is still a very, we're a bit scared to go into some of these areas that are a bit shrouded in mystery or political correctness or, and how do you, I mean, apart from just blurting it out and hoping the other person reassures you.
Not to everyone.
You have to be a bit selective, do you?
Yes.
You got any tips or?
I recently had such an instructive conversation with someone who has both invisible and visible diversity they live with. I live with neither. And so it's not a lived experience. And I have to be compassionate towards myself and say, I don't know the rules. I don't know how to do my best around this person, how to open a pathway for them, let's say as a leader, for them to be productive on my team. And so instead of treading around eggshells and trying to be delicate, I tried something different. I asked this person over a cup of coffee. I said, what kind of barriers exist for you? Like, I don't know enough. Would you care to tell me? And then they had the floor for the next 10 minutes nonstop, and they could have gone on. Because people are so excited and they feel so affirmed when you say, tell me more about your difference. But I so understand, and wouldn't, Marina, I think it's understandable to be a little afraid to offend.
Yeah.
So when you ask that question, you know, I generally lean forward. I look people in the eye. That's enough for them to know that I'm not lazily curious, but I am attentive to the outcome of this conversation. And they are more than happy to talk about things that are super sensitive, sticky. But all I have to do is to let them know I have the intent to understand, and I don't, and please help me.
Yeah.
And you can ask the toughest of questions.
Yeah. It's very connected to like mindfulness and presence, isn't it? It's that whole...
I like that connection.
It
yeah,
is.
It's
yeah,
a good point.
Yeah, being there. Just actually being in the moment and what have you. Which, it's interesting, one of the, when we talk about being in the moment, no one likes conflict. Like no one goes, oh, well, actually, no, that's not true. There are a group of people who love it. Well, we won't talk about
them. We won't include them.
No, let's just reject them. But a lot of our management and our team building and all of that, all the structures that we've all been taught and it's been validated, is about getting rid of conflict. And yet when in your session you're talking about the absence of conflict can be indicative that you actually have a diversity issue, because everyone says get along so much, so well, that there's no rub on it. And can you share a bit more around that? Because I think the absence of conflict is something that's a bit of a challenging idea.
It is. And what a good thing for you to kind of latch on to in that 60 mark in the morning, because I did talk about the absence of conflict kind of making us feel this nice, warm, fuzzy feeling of collaboration, and everything is so smooth and we work so well together, which is lovely. The idea of diversity is not that we must struggle with each other every day, because, you know, then it's just not nice. But when you have no real conflicts, you aren't really disagreeing on big decisions and there's lots of agreement, it is an alarm bell. It tells us that we have so bought into each other's similarity, or we are choosing selectively to look at common ground, then nobody might be looking at the risks of that decision. Because if I call out that risk, then I'm the odd one out. And we don't want to do that. Because we also have a culture fit issue going on in most organizations. And it's just this thing, this undercurrent, that if I'm saying something that's not popular, oh, she doesn't fit into this team.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's just too different, you know? Was she the wrong hire? And so it's something that has to come from leadership, who makes conflict a managed conflict.
Yeah, not acceptable. The unhealthy.
Yeah, let's not be, you know, pulling each other's hair out in a meeting room kind of conflict, but just saying, you know, so Marina, you think really differently about that. Why is that? And that gives you the permission to say why you think differently, and I've just made it permissible. So it really doesn't take lots of energy, but it does take intent.
Yeah.
And some conflict is important because the world is too complex. It's too fast moving. And you're involved with technology, so you know we are about to go into an even bigger churn. And how are we going to look out for dangers if you're too busy agreeing?
Yeah, it is. I think it's I love it. I'll probably be thinking about it all weekend, about this idea of leaders being able to facilitate good, healthy conflict or divergence of opinion on it, because that rubs up against an enormous amount of studies and concepts that we've put into our organisations and our people. And that this idea, we obviously recruit and do resourcing, and one of the, I reckon, the top three questions we get thrown at from clients is, they must be a cultural fit. And you think, why is that? Why do we have to have such a strong cultural fit? Is it possibly a negative thing now to actually put this up in the top three? Do we risk group think?
Right.
Because there's a lot of levels of innovation when everyone's the same.
It's a double-edged sword, because you want a culture that speaks to its people. You want a culture where people feel like they belong, which means some level of similarity is helpful. You want common ground. But in that common ground, you also want space for differences. But if you're going to dumb them down or strike the person down and hold it against them, then we have kind of overindulged in that culture fit. So we have to, as organizations who are, let's say, asking someone to recruit for us, or we're recruiting ourselves, it's helpful to ask, what is culture fit for us? What does it mean? Like, it's just a safe route to not rock the boat. Or are we saying we want people who resonate with our objectives? Essentially, that's how it must have started, right? Like, there's some intuitive sense. You want people, Google recruits people who resonate with its larger purpose. But Google recruits, well, they try to be more diverse. They can do better.
I think they're in core, aren't they?
They started out impressing us with their recruitment processes. But when they report their numbers, you realize that maybe they don't have as much diversity, but they have recruited interestingly nevertheless, and so have all the big tech companies. But the end result of it has been that maybe they recruited for certain kinds of differences, but didn't account for gender and ethnic differences, which are so obvious for us. So cognitive diversity alone doesn't cut it. But we need to have a conversation internally on what does a fit mean for us? Like, what are we trying to fit the person into?
Yeah.
But we don't ask that question because it's a challenging question. And I have a feeling not many people know the answer to it.
Mm.
So that's a good conversation. That's a good complex problem to solve through diversity. You know, have a cross-section of people and say, before we get to the next round of recruitment, let's answer what does culture fit mean for us.
Mm.
And it could be as simple as redefining it, saying people who speak to our purpose is what we mean by that fit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we are looking for mini-me's.
No. It also might indicate a bit, you know, like the lack of conflict, but it also might indicate how fragile your other parts of your systems and your business is if you just need everyone to be homogenous.
Mm.
Like if everything else is a bit flaky, put the pressure on the people to conform rather than actually have that good, robust, you know, we're a diverse, exciting, vibrant company. Yeah. Anyway, food for thought. Where do you reckon the future is? Where are we going to be in 5 years? Still talking about pay gaps? Lack of, you know, nationality, diversity.
Yeah, kind of disconcerting that we might still be thinking about that is
my
safe
guess.
But I think there's one word that we haven't spoken enough of today, and that's inclusion.
Mm.
And I'm kind of putting my hope into that word because while there is such a conversation on disparity, how do we bridge those gaps, whether it's on gender, ethnicity, abilities, or, you know, one of the most painful things of the pay gap, how do you bridge that gap is by making inclusion the front and center of our diversity efforts, you know, not stopping at hiring people who are different, but making sure that there is a firm foundation to include them, because you're bringing them in and then they promptly get rejected or possibly ridiculed, or they get beaten into submission to be like everybody else, talk of culture fit. And then it just, you know, neutralizes all the efforts to be more diverse. So I very much hope that the future conversation 5 years down the line, as much as we talk of diversity, we'll be talking more about inclusion because hopefully that word would have spread by then that without inclusion, we won't really benefit from diversity. It's more of a problem than a benefit. It makes things more complex than easier. And handling a diverse team is definitely more complex than handling a homogeneous team.
Yes.
So inclusion is your way out.
I can definitely attest to that, having run a multicultural and multi-continent team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has been a fantastic time. Our time together is over. I could sit here literally all day.
Oh, thank you so much. But we've got lunch together, so we will keep talking.
Yeah, we can talk then. But for us, just three quick questions before you leave. Really quick ones.
Mm.
Who's going to win the World Cup?
India for sure. Come on. There is no inclusion here. This is
you're definitely
rampant
excluding.
Bias.
Favorite fruit?
Mango.
Mango?
Yes, green I'm sticking with the Indian stereotype all the way.
You can teach me curry later.
Will do.
And, don't worry, someone asked me that chips.
That's your biased question to me, so you let that
no,
go.
No, that guy in Uber today, he asked me about chips, so I got it right back. I've got the white girl stereotype. And very last one. Did we walk on the moon?
I doubt it.
Oh, me too.
I hope people don't delete my podcast after hearing that.
I've got a doubt too. And I'm just trying to build a coalition of doubters.
There you are.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. And we'll find out why you have an Italian last name later.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, hopefully we'll see you again on a 60 Mock series.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.